Hey there, welcome to the Intentional Living Center live today. And I got a question for you. Maybe you have parents and they're alive, but you wrestle with the whole biblical teaching on honoring mom and dad. How do you do that? It's easy when they're honorable parents, you're honorable people, but maybe you feel like, how do I honor them? You know, they're really not that honorable in their relationship with us or with me and my spouse. And what do I do? How do you get intentional? Welcome to our center here today, and glad to be with you. We have a very special new friend joining us here in just a couple minutes, Dr. David Hawkins. David's a clinical psychologist, and he's got some help for you. He's going to be joining in our discussion here. As an adult today, you're trying to get on your own feet with your family, and you love your parents, but you wrestle with boundary issues. You wrestle with maybe they're butting in, or maybe they're too remote. Whatever it is, it's hard to really understand what the Bible says when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and then honor your father and mother. That's from Ephesians 6. Now, obviously, if you're still in your home, you're under their authority, they're paying all the bills, there's an element of obedience there, right? Try to go to the bank and borrow money from the bank and not have them have some contractual agreement with you that you have to obey, right? But if you're cut from that, you're on your own two feet, you're trying to build your own life, and you want to honor mom and dad because it's a biblical thing. It's the right thing to do. In fact, the scripture says you're going to have a longer life, which is kind of an interesting thought in itself, isn't it? A serious issue. Love to have you join in. Maybe you wrestle with this. 888-888-1717. Just before I get David on, I want you to hear a call that came in from Diana in New Mexico, who really, I think, summarizes the seriousness of this topic and how it can really undermine, in this case, a marriage. Take a listen.
My name is Diana. I was married many years ago, and my mother-in-law never approved of me. And it was kind of funny because my in-laws were born on the island of Puerto Rico, and I was born in New York. And therefore, I was not good enough for their standards, for their son. I tried, and I tried very hard, but my mother-in-law continued to sabotage our marriage to the point that she would call sometimes and ask for her son and say that she had the young woman in her home visiting that she wanted him to marry. And it was interesting because every time she went to the hospital, she would call me and I would get her whatever she needed and take care of whatever it was that needed to be taken care of, even though she had two adult daughters. I strongly believe that she slowly put a wedge between us, and it eventually led to a divorce, which I didn't want, but I had no choice. And when my husband asked for a divorce, his comment was, my mother was right.
Wow. Okay, we've set the stage. Come and join us. Intentional Living friends, we're in this together. What have you learned? How can we manage this to be intentional as Christians in relationship when it's hard to honor mom and dad? Because frankly, maybe they're just butting in where they ought not be. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. With that all said, I want to introduce our new friend today, Dr. David Hawkins. David's a clinical psychologist. He has a whole ministry, a marriage recovery center in Washington, helping couples and relationships. He's written all sorts of books. He's on radio and television, does lots of stuff. But in addition to that, it says here he's got a great marriage. And I'll tell you, that's a balancing act trying to do all those things. So, David, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, my friend.
Hey, Randy, thank you. Yes, and I do consider us to be friends. This is the first time with us talking, but I'm excited to be with you. And you're tackling some tough issues, some gritty issues, should we say, that impact all of us.
Well, it's a serious issue. I mean, this is a big one. And for people listening that have great relationships with their parents, no problem. It's fantastic. But for those who don't, serious problem. You've probably seen this in your counseling work. What do you see?
Yeah, Randy, actually, I see it more and more and more. I mean, people, we're living longer. Hey, that's pretty cool. We're living longer, so we have grown children. We have parents. We have these generations that are all commingling their lives. And any time you have this commingling of lives, you're going to have some problems. I mean, we're all struggling with how to find this fine line of connecting. So we all want to be connected to each other, to our mate, and many times to our parents, but we don't want them to be, you know, you said butting in. We don't want parents to be meddling. We don't want those kinds of messy relationships. So somebody smarter than me said, "Good fences make good neighbors." And yeah. Randy, I think that's the trick. And most haven't learned it, quite frankly. Yeah. And so I'm seeing more and more and more problems with these different generations trying to interact with each other.
You know, there's a TV show, Everyone Loves Raymond. I mean, it went on for season after season after season. That was sort of over-the-top example of this, you know, the mother-in-law right across the street coming over, walking in, butting in. The son didn't know how to handle that. He struggled with it, and his wife was more direct. And I think the reason that show went on, not only the writing and so on, but many people identified with how families can get so messy.
You know, messy is the word, Randy. It shocks me. I shouldn't be shocked at this stage of my life or my career. I've been at this a long while. But the way people talk to each other, it is just that there's a lot of stuff that's like that show. People seem to feel the freedom to talk to their parents any way they want, and parents seem to feel this freedom, entitlement. You know, I'm your parent. I get to butt in. I get to share what I want to share, say what I want to say, do what I want to do, and chaos ensues.
Yeah, it does. In fact, I want to have Pam share with us from Arizona, because she really wants to talk about, address this issue of boundaries, which, you know, the big word that we use today, but it's an important word. It's an important concept. So, Pam, go ahead.
I'm listening to the conversation from Dr. Randy about unhealthy relationships and ending them. And everything that he has described is my relationship with my mother, every negative aspect that I have heard discussed so far. And I'm in my 50s, my mother's in my 80s, and it's been like this my whole life. And it came to a head about a year ago. And I just don't simply talk to her anymore. She's in Pennsylvania, I'm in Arizona. And I set boundaries, and she gets angry. No matter what I do, she keeps trying to control, and she's negative, and she's critical, and it never stops. So I just like to hear Dr. Randy comment on that. It would be helpful. And yes, my mother is a Christian.
Yeah, a little bit of that at the end. In other words, we're believers. Why can't we make this work? And I, you know, I've talked to David. I've talked to a lot of families over the years, and I'm sure if I talked to that mom, she would see it differently. She, you know, where she's seen it through eyes of I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to be supportive. And I always tell people, David, that we judge ourselves by our intentions. I mean, this is all intentional living. My intentions are good, but the fact is, you're judging me by my behavior. You're judging me by your expectation, which creates an instant dynamic. And in her case, it just cut off relationship. And we've seen so many families that just write parents out. They divorce the parents, as it were, or vice versa, because they can't get to the bottom of this. There's got to be a better way for families to approach this.
You know, Randy, we've got to, it is perhaps an overused word, but the word boundaries has got to, we've got to unpack that. So let's imagine this 8-year-old mother. In her mind, so boundary is something we do, but it's also something that we think about. I'm imagining, and I don't know her mother, so it's all imagined. I'm imagining that this mother is thinking, I get to tell my daughter what I think.
Hold on for just a second, David. Your thoughts are too valuable not to hear them clearly. We got a little line connection. See if we can reconnect, and we'll get right back to that. We're talking today about the whole biblical teaching, the biblical command that says, children, obey your parents, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We get that, don't we? And then honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that will go well with you, and you may enjoy a long life on this earth. Big deal to God. Honoring mom and dad. It's not a suggestion, but boy, how do you honor? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to ask that question as well. What does honoring mean? We'll get to that in a moment. You're welcome to join us. We've got a lot of calls coming in we're going to get to. 888-1717, talking about parents. You want to honor them, but maybe they're not all that honorable people.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Do you ever feel like all hope is lost? Maybe it's bad news from the doctor, a relationship issue, or just a bad day. In part one of Dr. Randy's message, How to Experience Hope, he gives you four ways the Bible says we can experience hope. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we're offering you a copy of the book, Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. To receive this month's special offer and the book, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Can I encourage you today to listen carefully to your parents and live? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. It says in Proverbs 13:1 that a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to his rebuke. Now, if you have loving parents, parents who care for you, even though at times you don't appreciate what they say, can I encourage you to listen, to evaluate? And then for yourself, if you're a young adult, you got to make the decision because you're going to be the one, you're going to be the one living with the consequences. But a foolish son or a scoffer, as scripture says, is one who avoids or neglects listening to his mother and father. So can I encourage you today to be intentional? Listen to your parents, listen to their advice, and live. That's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
My guest is Dr. David Hawkins. David is a clinical psychologist, has a ministry for marriage, Marriage Recovery Center, and I think we got him back on the line here. David, sorry about that. Your phone just dropped out there for a little bit.
Yes, I was saying I can imagine, Randy, this 80-year-old mother, the mother of Pam, and I can imagine the mother thinking, a lack of boundaries in her own mind, the mother's mind. She's thinking, yeah. I presume, I can talk into my daughter's life. I've got things to share. I mean, this is my daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
And the role, you know, I'm the parent. She's my daughter. So we have these role expectations that, by the way, they don't necessarily shift even though we get older and older. So the mother is still the mother. The daughter is still the daughter. And they haven't made the shift. And so mother thinks, I can say what I want to say. I'm being helpful. And this is all good. And the daughter gets upset, tries to set some boundaries, maybe does that well, maybe doesn't do it so well, and then the chaos happens, and then Pam says, I can't be in relationship with you, which sadly happens
if
they don't end up making that shift.
That's important. Well, we've got Jennifer who has a comment and question for us from Michigan. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. My whole thing is my husband is, like I had said, he's a mom's boy, like, you know, and
describe that. When you say a mama's boy, does that mean he defers to her, depends on her?
Well, no, it doesn't depend on her, but I mean, everything that we do, I understand to honor her and that, because she just lost her husband a couple years ago, and her son she lost prior to that, too, and I understand that, and she's got another son. But it's just so hard. Every day we probably go over there.
All right, Jennifer, we're having real interesting phone issues here today. But I heard the fact that there seemed like there was such a connection. It was you call mama's boy. We talk about a symbiotic relationship that. Mm-hmm. I would ask the question, you probably feel a little cut out of this deal. Because your question, I think, David, at the end of the day, is what do? I love my husband, care for my mother-in-law, but I got a husband here that's maybe making mom more important than me.
Well, you know as well as I do, Randy, the scriptures about leaving parents and cleaving to one another, and that leave and cleave notion just comes up all the time. And when when a couple don't do that, when they don't do the leaving and the cleaving, you know, we all want to feel incredibly connected to our mate. And so this woman is essentially saying, I don't feel connected. I don't feel held tight. You're not holding on to me and protecting me. And as a matter of fact, you're going to your mom and dad or your mom or whoever it is, and you're scapegoating me. And so again, Randy, can you hear that it all keeps boiling back to, have we really created these clear boundaries and these clear roles and these clear expectations? And Randy, again, I don't see people doing that kind of work. And so they end up growing up chronologically, but boy, oh boy, the roles and the clarification of expectations, that work isn't done, and it just leads to all kinds of tension and conflict.
Yeah, and I think a good time to get that resolved is at the point when you're getting married, to really sit down with the family and talk about our relationship, what kind of relationship we want. We want to have a positive relationship. There'll be times where we're going to say no to things or yes to things, and there's reasons for that. We do it with love and respect. Because whenever, as we know, David, when an expectation is larger than reality, doesn't match reality, it always creates a level of disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment, and frankly, division in relationships, which can be very problematic. Let's get Ashley on from Florida. Ashley, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Ashley. Hi. Oh. I just have a piece of advice. I was married. I am now divorced. We had some problems with the in-laws. They were not married. They are separated. So it was like two different spectrums dealing with his mom and then a completely different spectrum dealing with his father. And I was raised kind of when y'all are talking about honor thy mother and honor thy father. In my opinion, the one biggest word that you can use to describe what that means is respect, in my opinion. And because respect goes in so many different ways in so many different locations, and I mean, it means so many things, but as long as you're respecting your parents in all aspects of everything, you are essentially honoring what they are doing and asking of you. And we had so many problems with his mom and her side and his dad, and I finally had to sit down with him and say, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow your mom to talk to me the way she's talking to me? Are we going to allow your father to give us all of these inputs that is causing strain in our relationship? Or are we going to continue to allow them to control what we are doing and cause these problems? And that conversation helped make a turn for our relationship at the time. And it helped so very much for the relationship. He finally put boundaries in, and he spoke with his parents separately, and he said, Mom, this is not right. I am wrong for letting it happen for so long. And Dad, you cannot be doing this. That is disrespectful to my wife. And it helped for a very long time. We were divorced for completely unrelated issues from his parents. But having a conversation on what we're going to continue to allow into our lives and our marriage and our family, and then having him do a one-on-one with his parents because he knows them far more than I will ever, that helped tremendously.
Absolutely. I mean, that's you set the boundaries and you did it in a loving, respectful way. I think, David, sometimes the word respect is misunderstood. In one of my books on marriage, on Star for Affection, I have a chapter called Active Respect, where I say respect can be a very active thing. I love you enough, I respect you enough that I'm willing to hold you accountable, willing to set boundaries. Respect is not a weakness, it's a strength in a relationship, and especially one like this, don't you think?
I absolutely agree with you, Randy. And boy, kudos to Ashley here, who sat down and had the conversation, and she uses a sentence that I love very much, what will we allow into our lives? And having that conversation, we will allow this, we won't allow that. And you delineate that, you get that really, really crystal clear, and you connect with your mate and you agree upon, here's what we will allow, here's what we won't allow. And that just, again, back to the good fences make good neighbors, or good fences make good relationships with one's parents or in-laws. Well done, Ashley, and that's a great model.
It really is very positive. Dr. David Hawkins, new friend for us here at Intentional Living, joining us today. I'm sure many of you have heard him on maybe other radio networks, some of our friends at Moody or Faith Radio or maybe on CBN or what have you. But he's here with us today, and he's the author of many books. We thought he could really add to this discussion, and he is. We'd love to have you join in. David's agreed to stay with us for the next half hour. Even though we're going off live, we're going to record a program that will air later. So give us a call, 888-888-1717, as we're talking about honoring your mom and dad. I'd like your take on what honor means. David, we'll get to that in a moment. Number two, how to experience hope. Romans 8:23-25. Look what it says. Paul says, "We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he's promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved." And this is interesting. It says, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Isn't that true? If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently.
You know, that's the second point in the top 10 list of how to experience hope, is to have a waiting room, to wait patiently. You know, we talk about the impatience we have when we're in the doctor's waiting room. You know, it's interesting to watch some people. They tend to wait patiently. Others fidget, and some look nervous. And, you know, that's kind of like the way life is. Many of us are in the waiting room today, waiting room for our marriage, waiting room for health, waiting room to know what's next in our life. And to be able to trust God in the waiting room is such a really important part of this whole topic of experiencing hope. And by the way, that's our lesson this month, part one, the first four of the 10 principles of experiencing hope. It's our gift to all of our Intentional Living members. You receive it automatically, both video and audio, here in July. And if you're not, come and join us. We got a very special additional gift beyond the masterclass teaching. I handpicked a classic from Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. It's a book that really, it's a really biblically based, emotionally based, relationally based approach that'll help you understand the power and the process to experience God in your life. Not only know Him, not only be saved, but to experience that relationship. It's our gift to those of you coming to join us today in support of the ministry monthly. We appreciate it. If you can join us, you're going to help us carry on this mission here and around the world. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. There's a little donate icon. Click on that. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2, and our staff will be happy to talk to you. Come and join us. Be a part of this journey. Life is short. Join the Intentional Living community today.
My name is Charlotte Mann. I'm from Albuquerque. Dr. Randy is having what you would tell your younger self right now. I would tell my younger self to start living intentionally earlier. Thank you for the work that you do. God bless you. Bye.
All right, David Hawkins is my guest here today. David, honor mom and dad. Define honor for us in terms of how does a child do that with an adult parent? They want to, you know, they want to honor their parents, but the parents maybe aren't all that honorable.
You know, I think I want to say what it isn't. You know, it isn't just blindly accepting anything parents say. It isn't allowing them to meddle into our lives. It isn't that. It is appreciating them for who they are. You know, if we, back to the fences, you know, if we've got these clear fences, these clear boundaries, I can love them. I can appreciate them, even if they, and I can set boundaries on them and with them so that we can interact in a healthy and a loving way. So it's pretty rare, Randy, that I think that we have to completely cut off a relationship with mm-hmm. a parent. It happens. We heard that in a previous caller. But I think more often than not, if we're holding our space well, and if we're clarifying boundaries and expectations and holding them and monitoring those boundaries, then we can love and be caring and appreciate our parents for who they are and their own individuality, and at least have some kind of relationship. It may not be exactly what we want, but we can still honor and respect them for who mm-hmm. they are.
And in any relationship that's so potentially hot and heavy in terms of a dynamic of hurt and what have you, there's got to be some grace and mercy because people make mistakes. Yeah. And in the process, if we don't have a little bit of grace and mercy, you're not going to make it through a lifetime without, you know, rubbing against each other in ways that might create some friction.
I'm so glad you said that, because their individuality, if we step back and we say, look, you know, they are who they are. Their individuality is still to be appreciated. We don't have to be black and white about this. Like, if they don't do blank, I can't have them in my life. Well, can we work on that and work on this relationship? I like the idea, Randy, of growing together, healing together, working on things together. It's not like one shot at this, and then if they don't work out, it's done. I don't think that has to be the case. We work on this relationship as we can, you know, as it remains healthy enough for all involved.
Absolutely. As I said, we're going to stay here in the studio, and I appreciate your willingness to stay with us, David. We're going to record a sure. program that will air later, and we got callers already lined up. But if you want to join us for that, give us a call, 888-888-1717. And Ramon, I'll get to you first and the recorded program in a couple of minutes. But she made a comment. She said, I didn't really like my mother-in-law, but I chose to shower her with love. And I think there's a difference between sometimes liking the person or agreeing with them and loving them. As Christians, love has a totally different definition for us, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we hope you'll join us. If you have a thought you'd like to contribute to the program, you're welcome to share it with us on Facebook as the discussions continue there, or call us here at 888-888-1717. Let me add one closing thought here for today's program. One thing that I believe important for you to do, if you're married and there's a challenge between adult parents, I mean, it could be her parents, it could be your parents, his parents, and it could be just one, or it could be everybody, but you and your spouse need to be on the same page. And if you're both believers, to come in agreement to define what honor means. Honor means a willingness to demonstrate grace and forgiveness, because there'll be times where you're going to need to offer that. It also, part of honor means that I'm willing to hold you accountable. There's times where you're going to have to put boundaries in place for the protection of your own marriage, for your family, in ways that it could be emotional or otherwise. So start with honoring each other in your marriage. Honor your spouse, their feelings, their needs. If you can do that at the marriage level, working with the parents becomes a whole lot easier. Don't allow the dynamic of the parents to impact the relationship you have in your marriage. I'm going to be back with Dr. David Hawkins, who I appreciate him joining me today, and we're going to record a program for later. I'm Randy Carlson for our team. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.